I want to thank you for being with me today. You know, in recent years, there's been a lot of natural disasters that have struck different parts of the world. In 2004, there was the tsunami that hit Asia. In 2005, there was Hurricane Katrina that hit the United States. In 2008, there was a cyclone that hit in Myanmar. And in 2010, we had the earthquake in Haiti. The thing about when these events happen, there are a lot of people that will oftentimes raise questions. There's always going to be the political conspiracy theorists that think the government has something to do with all this. But then there are those that will question God. Why did it happen? Did God cause it? And if he didn't, why did he allow it to happen? And then they ask, what can I do? And does it do any good to try to follow God? And I guess this even goes back before 2004, because in 1985, Ethiopia had a massive famine, and people have been questioning God about these natural events even since then. And it doesn't matter how recent the most recent disaster is and how fresh it is on our minds, people will always wonder if God caused it, and if he didn't cause it, then why did he allow it to happen? So let's ask the question, why did it happen? Pick any disaster and ask the question, why did it happen? And inside that question, we have to ask, did God cause it to happen? You know, it's common to call a natural disaster an act of God. It may be because God has used natural disasters in the past. For example, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 6, we read about the worldwide flood. In Genesis chapters 18 and 19, we read about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read throughout the Bible, especially in books like Amos, in chapter 4, where God would allow or bring about drought, famine, pestilence, plague, war, and earthquake, oftentimes against his own children, the nation of Israel. But I believe it would be a mistake to attribute all disasters in all times to the hand of God. The reason for that is disasters are a part of natural process in a planet's changing an ecology. Sometimes God simply allows such events to run their course according to time and chance. And so many experience tragedies due to no fault of their own. We read about that in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. Sometimes disasters are man-made. You remember the Russian nuclear disaster in Chernobyl. A bridge may collapse. It could be forest fires where someone inadvertently left a campfire burning or threw a cigarette out the window. But suffering oftentimes comes upon innocent people. If you take the time to read the book of Job, you know that this happens, beginning in chapter 1 of the book of Job. But Paul also speaks of this in 2 Corinthians 11. So we shouldn't try to make the mistake that Job's friends did. In Job chapter 42 and verse 7, they made the presumption that he was guilty just because he was suffering tragedy. Without divine revelation, there's no way to know, no way that we can know, if God caused it or not. So if God didn't cause it, then we ask the question, why does he allow it? Well, if he didn't cause it, why does he even allow things like this to happen? Why does he allow his children, as it were, throughout the world to suffer? Well, this relates to the overall problem of suffering, which God may allow for several different reasons. It may be that he allows things like this to happen to keep this whole world from becoming too attractive and encouraging us to seek something better, look for a better home. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in chapter 6 of Matthew, beginning in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 13, verse 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. And also, it could be that God allows these disasters to happen because when it happens, you tend to see the best being brought out in people. You see people being more patient. You see people being more generous. I remember very clearly after 9/11 how people were more loving. They turned to God. There was more praying, more public praying taking place throughout this country. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. James would record for us in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When disaster hits, it encourages people to think about God, and hopefully it will cause them to draw near to Him in repentance. Whenever innocent and righteous people die, we should bear in mind that the death of the righteous is precious in the sight of God. Unfortunately, since 2020, since coming to Eastside, I have been involved in more funerals than I care to think of. The death of the righteous is precious in the sight of the Lord. Psalm 116 and verse 15. The death of the righteous removes them from all suffering and evil. I know of some that have died from COVID and have died from other health issues that suffered while they had them. And if they're no longer suffering, then that's what the death of the righteous does. It removes them from suffering, and they don't have to deal with the evil that goes on in this world anymore. That's what we read of in Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. But also, John writes for us in Revelation 14 and verse 13 that the death of the righteous is truly a blessing. Even the innocent young are delivered from so much heartache and sorrow. Now, whether a disaster is caused by God or not, it can result in so much good. And that leads us to our next question, which often comes from responding to the disaster and those who suffer. And that question is, what can I do? Well, simply put, the answer is, as we have opportunity. As we have opportunity to do good, we are to do it. Galatians 6 and verse 10. What we can do depends on what we are able to do. It may be that all you can do is offer money. It may be that all that the people ask from you is that you pray for them. It may be that you have a certain set of skills. Maybe it's a contractor type job or heavy equipment or whatever their need is. Or whatever resources you have, that may be what you can do. And it doesn't matter if we're nearby or afar off. If the need is nearby, we may be able to help these people directly with skills like medical aid or just picking up trash. With resources like medicines, food, clothing, and shelter. But if the need is afar off, we can help indirectly. And we can support those who have those skills that have a desire to go. We can support charitable organizations as well. But we have to be thoughtful about our charitable giving. We need to give to established charities that have the experience in an area that's affected by a hurricane or wildfire or some other natural disaster. We can send cash. We can send whatever type of non-perishable food they may need, or it may be just some type of cleaning product that they need, or clothing. But while donating tangible items might make you feel better, giving cash is almost always a better option. to understand why, there's two articles that have been published. One is Cash is Best, and it comes from the Center for International Disaster Information. And it says it's about the absolute best way to help after a natural disaster that's abroad. And that comes from Slate.com. Again, we need to depend upon our opportunity as well as our ability to help. But not only should we take advantage of every opportunity to help, but we need to do good to all. Again, we go back to Galatians 6 and verse 10, and it says, as we have opportunity, we are to do good to all men. I keep in mind passages like Luke 10 with the story of the Good Samaritan. He had the opportunity, he had the means, and he had the wherewithal to help this gentleman that had been left for dead on the side of the road. But there are non-sectarian charitable organizations that are especially good. I prefer a non-sectarian organization that's faith-based instead of some other charitable organizations. Because of the latter teaching false doctrine and things of this nature while they're trying to help. For example, I personally will not donate to Salvation Army because it is a religion. We read about that in 2 John 1, verses 9 through 11, not the Salvation Army, but those that teach false doctrine. And we should not hesitate to help those who may not be Christians. But Galatians 6 and verse 10 also tells us that we're to do good to all as we have opportunity. But he says there, Paul does, that especially as we have opportunity to help the household of faith. My first obligation outside of my immediate family is to help the household of faith as I have opportunity, like the Gentile Christians did for their Jewish brethren in Christ, Romans 15, 2 Corinthians 8. Churches can certainly send aid directly to such Christians, 1 Corinthians 16. and individuals can sometimes use other channels, such as organizations, to help them. When we know of Christians in need, we shouldn't hesitate to help. And finally, the best thing we can do is pray. It is our duty as Christians to pray for all men. Paul would tell the young preacher Timothy in the first letter of Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he said, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We need to pray for everyone that is directly affected by these disasters and their loved ones. The prayers of the righteous can accomplish much good, James 5 and verse 16. You know, when we talk about disasters, they are a terrible thing, but they can be occasions for so much good in the world. The wicked can turn to God, the righteous can draw closer to God, and people can become more charitable, and what once might have been an enemy now becomes their friend. And with faith in God and love for our fellow man, we can make the best of any situation. We can strengthen the bonds between brethren. We can bring communities together. And we can appreciate what is really important in life. So in times of disaster or calamity, what we need to do is ultimately trust in God and reach out to the aid of our fellow man. I hope that this lesson has been beneficial to you. If you have any comments, please look me up on Facebook. You can go to the church@eastside.com website and listen to this again if you missed part of it or would like to listen to it again. We'll meet this morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study or for worship, and we would encourage you to attend and worship with us if you have the opportunity. Again, thank you for being with me.